Good morning. Today is Friday, August the 12th. Joining us this morning is Humble Bay Fire Chief Sean Robertson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Hey, you even have your whole name spelled out there.
My whole name.
Wow.
Everybody gets one of these.
You know what would have been cool? Just to mess with people. Either have it backwards, so when you look in the mirror, it's there. Or better yet, turn it upside down. So, why do you have that? Well, so I know who I am. I can look down and I say,
I don't think that's the kind of thing you want to
entertain
as a fire chief.
No.
It doesn't really
clear communication.
Well, it doesn't really make people feel confident about your abilities. If you have to remember who you are by what's on your shirt.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe you only wear that one to the conventions and the academy.
There you go. That's when I need a Velcro tab.
That would have been
the way to do it.
Okay.
Then I could have turned it around and had all kinds of fun.
Yeah, they would remember you.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Memorable.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. You ready for a why do we say that?
Yes.
Why do we say someone is jaded?
Oh. I don't know, but jade is what comes to mind. So I don't know if they're the color of jade or something to do with jade.
Okay, well, at least you didn't say China, because it's not. English adventurers who first penetrated Iceland found it amazing. Nearly everything they saw added to their wonder until they were shown a scrawny mare. At the sight of the puny native animal, they burst into laughter. Travelers took home with them the Icelandic word for mare and began to call any sorry, worn-out horse a jade. Some jades were foaled that way and couldn't help it. Others were once fine mounts that had been overworked and underfed. In time, the Icelandic label transferred from a sorry mount to any weary rider. Even behind the wheel of a BMW, a person showing signs of exhaustion is compared with a hard-driven horse and described as being jaded.
Really? So the Icelandic word for horse, yada, became an English word for a
Icelandic.
Yeah, my Scandinavian pronunciation is pretty
right
good.
There.
Yep.
How'd that happen?
I don't know.
Did you marry into it?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Great. I get to use it in a whole different way now.
Yeah.
Interesting.
See how many times you can use it in the show, huh?
Oh, challenge accepted.
Oh, boy. Earlier this week, I got a number of phone calls and comments, and then over last weekend also, about the traffic experiment going on out by the zoo in Washington School.
Yes.
How do you guys weigh in on something like that?
Directly. So for me, it starts at the department head level with the city, just talking in a department head meeting, and then once it becomes into the public comment realm.
What, are you crazy? Stage of things?
Sometime, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Frank discussions.
Yeah, just, I mean, the concern is obviously how's this going to affect everybody, and it's obviously going to affect emergency response. Our vehicles
probably
are...
Probably you guys more than the cops.
Much more for us because our vehicles are much bigger, and we have to...
And you're all coming from the one spot.
Yeah.
Most times.
Yeah. Right. And we serve the greater community out in Cutton, so that's a thoroughfare for us. So having to only have a directional response where we are accustomed to being on the other side of all those properties, the water treatment plant, the National Guard area, et cetera, you know, that's going to affect our route.
Well, and probably not having to go through 2 4-way stops.
Exactly. Yeah, the controlled intersections, you know, sometimes are as hazardous as the uncontrolled intersections.
Have you done any dry runs to see how much longer it takes?
Just, non-emergency driving through there. And right now it's difficult to get a really good sense because it's so much more congested because you don't get a good sense of what the layout's going to be. And people are already driving really slow through there because it's an interruption to their regular driving.
Well, and but you don't have school either.
No, so we don't. So that would make it worse. Yeah. And right now we have no other go-around. So in emergency response, people would pull over. In this case, there's nowhere to pull over because there's cars parked all the way along the curb. And then on the left, the cone lane is pretty closed off. So
yeah, no wiggle room.
No, no. So it's you know, we provide feedback on that, and I've done so, and we'll continue to do so. It's good to get different drivers for us through there. Also to get all of our apparatus, so both of our big ladder trucks, because we may be operating them out there, so that we have a good sense of what the impact may be for us.
I hadn't even thought, but are all fire trucks the same width?
No. There's a general width, and there's a maximum, and that's more on the DOT side and the DMV side, but they're more or less around 11 feet wide with the mirrors, but they do vary a little bit.
So that's a little bit bigger than the standard vehicle.
Yes.
With the truck with the driver in the back.
The tiller.
That's more flexible, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you don't need quite as much space wide-ways? Or is that just it's the physical width of that vehicle as well as
it's about the same as all the others. I mean, we're confined by the actual, you know, width of the road, and that's prescribed by law as well.
Yeah, you're not driving a D8 Cat.
No, we're not. But, I mean, that might be easier because then you can take up the whole
road. I bet your
response
time would be a little bit longer.
Yeah, but the tiller is much more maneuverable, so we can move through much more challenging spots.
Is this a wait and see? Are you giving them feedback on a daily or a weekly basis about this new arrangement so they can make a more informed decision rather than just making a political one?
Well, I can't comment on the political aspect.
How I feel,
right?
What my big goal is, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Versus the actual practical implications.
Yeah, so far just on a weekly basis, since I think we started last week to drive through it. But yeah, we'll keep doing that.
Well, and you get a couple emergency responses, I bet you that feedback will be a little bit more germane.
Yeah, absolutely. Much more valid as
well. Not looking for volunteers, though.
No.
Not for the driving side to respond.
That's right.
Okay, good.
No emergency volunteers.
Get registered. I don't want you to become too jaded about this.
Oh, dang
it. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Beat me.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Sean Robertson. Sean, another thing that's going on, and I know you guys fixate a lot on response time,
yes,
just as a community does too.
Yeah.
You need that. The main drags through town, and whether it's the concerns around the zoo, H&I getting narrowed down,
right?
Some of the other intriguing decisions that are being considered, or what Caltrans is doing on the highway.
Yeah.
All that stuff, sometimes we may not think that it's a big deal, but I would suspect for you guys, that's lifeblood stuff for you.
Yeah.
This is goofy walk across on Broadway. Do you have any confidence that that's going to do anything other than just cause more challenge?
Well, that's a great question. I hope it does, because obviously we have a lot of significant pedestrian fatalities from motor vehicles. The placement is at major places.
Is there going to be more than that one? It's in now in front of the
movie
theater?
I believe there are two or three planned locations all the way to deal with the pedestrian, just to allow people to cross Broadway, because people do. We all see it every day. Are those pedestrian walkways going to be used as much as we hope? I don't know that. It's definitely, it's a concern for the response route, because again, on Broadway, it's the most congested roadway in the greater Eureka area, and we use that center lane a lot for safe passing. And that was, part of the...
Well, your trucks are pretty heavy, too.
Yeah, so...
You can't stop in 10 feet.
No, we cannot. And that was part of the engineering for what those walkway landings will be, I think is what they're called, so that we can still drive over them if we have to. So that's part of the engineering that I understand. But to your greater question, all of our response routes, they can be dynamic. We have road closures all the time, especially in the last couple of years with a lot of repaving, which is a great thing. But when, a part of our daily planning is being aware of what's changed on our response routes and then coming up with alternatives if necessary. It's also something we do every day because things change, like when schools get out, when school's in session, we have to be aware of that. Yeah.
The changes are you guys get.
Yeah, because if we're, going code 3, trying to get to a structure fire at 3 o'clock or 3:20 when schools get out, that's not a good idea to go by, Zane or Eureka High, because there's going to be a lot of congestion there, and that's, we're also going to create a lot of consternation amongst the folks that are
Think of a more challenging scenario getting out of the Myrtle Avenue station. Challenge number one.
Right.
Challenge number two then is negotiating the hill and then the traffic being backed up from the bottom up.
Yeah.
So now you're slowing down. Okay, now you're at the base of a hill and getting one of those things now starting to move.
Right.
Or you're shooting O Street, I guess, on the backside and just kind of trying to avoid that entirely. But then you got the high school jumping in, as well as Long Booner, both sides going east-west, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot to consider.
Now, who makes those calls? Is that dispatch? Is that
the route? The routing?
Yeah.
No, the engineer will decide the route, and then the captain will help them decide if they have more experience or they just work together. But generally, the engineer has to make that decision pretty quickly.
Will you run interference or whoever, if whoever's driving the command vehicle?
No.
Try to get out in front and to kind of clear a path if you have to use those?
No, kind of the opposite. The big vehicles clear the path better than the small ones. I'll tell you, going from driving a big apparatus to driving a car, my emergency driving changed a lot because nobody pays attention to me in my bright red truck with flashing red lights because I just look like another car and they don't hear the sirens.
Maybe like throwing cones out or something like that just to try to.
No.
But that would probably you'd have to have a lot of lead time.
Yeah. Our engineers, are very well trained. They know our routes really well. That's a big part of their testing. And also each station has their specific response jurisdiction. So that's part of their everyday job is to know the routes and what's going to work best. And
so in that, they'd probably use Harrison.
Exactly.
Just go around.
Yeah. Yeah. And as a rule, you're going to, you have your thoroughfares and depending on where it is on the block split, you're going to take one route versus the other.
Unless, of course, it's by the zoo.
That, yeah.
See?
A bit more challenging.
There's my jadedness popping up again.
Oh, dang.
Instead of just kind of going with the flow. And that's got to be tough. And then you throw in the pavement projects, because they're going to be trying to get as much laid down as they can this year.
Right.
If there's something over by the Target place where they're having to dig up the street or that kind of thing. I mean, it's... I would think it almost sounds like it's an hour, hour and a half a day trying to figure out what are the impacts today, if there's any kind of a change from yesterday.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we have it on we have a status sheet that's part of our plan of the day, and those changes get put on there, and our dispatch does a great job letting us know what new changes come up that they're aware of, and then just driving around, we sometimes notice other things, and we try to communicate that back.
When do the shifts change?
For us, it's at 8 o'clock.
Is it staggered throughout the week, different stations, or is everybody who's working on Wednesday, Thursday's the off day, and you have a whole new crew coming in at each station?
We work 48-96, so 2 days on, 4 days off. So that's generally how that operates.
So there's some transition from one
to the other. There's good
somebody
continuity.
Remembers what was today, tomorrow.
Yeah, and then we pass on every day what's going on. And it's always pertinent to the positions on the apparatus.
Well, better than talking about what the winning lottery numbers were.
Better than that, yes.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Chief Sean Robertson from Humboldt Bay Fire. The fires that are out in the area, in the region,
right,
if you will. Mutual aid is something that, you know, everybody, you know, pull the string, everybody's kind of responding pretty much. I have a tough time when people are talking about fires in these areas, not talking about some of the forest practices that haven't been employed over the last little bit, and some of the different departments' work schedules, work ethic, depending on how you want to say it. When you bring everybody together on one of these, I know that there's a pecking order, and it's the feds first, or then in the state, but when you guys are there, is there any opportunity for input, or are the mutual aid folks that come in, are they pretty much seen as worker bees? And here's your instructions, thank you very much, and we'll talk to the next crew coming through.
It's more the latter. I mean, that's how the system is designed, is we're a resource. And like you said, if it's on federal or state jurisdiction, that's going to change how that works.
Do the feds have mutual aid? Say that's on a state park, so it's very clearly California property.
Right.
They'll call you guys. Okay, you're in the neighborhood. You know, the local volunteer, the local paid staff. Will they call in the feds also, and will they respond?
That's a good question. What I've seen, because I don't know their protocols specifically to know what the triggers are for that, is that on state incidents, CAL FIRE has resources, they mobilize those. If it becomes long in duration, then, you know, say 5 days, then they'll start looking for more resources. They try to pull in more local resources because they're closer, and it then expands beyond that. So on the state incidents that I've been a part of, those federal resources may only come in the second or even third week or beyond that. And then you'll see people being pulled in from, you know, Montana, other states, or even we've had crews that come in from New Zealand, from Samoa.
Were they getting the wrong terminal or what?
Yeah, that's remarkable. But those are on years where we have a lot of significant incidents throughout the country, so they're pulling resources from everywhere.
Oh, so it's just really thin.
Yeah.
And anybody and everybody, yeah, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Have you ever gone on one of those out-of-state jobs?
No, I have not. I've just been in state.
That would be interesting.
Yeah,
to see how they function.
Yeah,
for California.
For us, unless you're part of an incident management team on a, you know, very high command level, we're not expecting to go out. We might get called into Oregon. I mean, a few years ago we had...
Yeah, up in Checo.
Yeah, we had the fires up there that were really close and they needed a lot of resources. But even then, we were using a backfill the state resources or state stations before we'd get pulled all the way up there.
So somebody from here got the real tough duty of working out of Trinidad?
Yes, we've done that before as well.
But, you know, I suppose if it's game on, it doesn't matter how pretty it is.
No.
Or how ugly it is. You're focused on what the job is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, sure. It would be intriguing because you know that there are differences.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever they happen to be.
Yeah, I mean, we have folks working for us now that have worked for the Forest Service. We have folks who have worked for the state. I worked for the state for 2 whole months back in 1998. So I got a little bit of insight from there. And they're definitely very different organizations.
When the chiefs get together, does CDF or Cal Fire, do they attend those also?
Yes. Our monthly chief meetings here in the county, the Cal Fire participates in all of those. Forest Service, more in the training realm, but they also attend our chief meetings, and then we usually get a state office of emergency services rep that
Ryan or one of his guys.
No, more on the state fire side. Yeah. So
okay.
They
do the parks show up, or is CDF or Cal Fire cover the state parks?
The parks don't generally show up. We have more experience with them on the water rescue side, just with our water team's development.
Right.
But I haven't seen them at a regular meeting. They'll sometimes show up at, you know, big joint trainings.
The Coast Guard? I know that they're kind of tertiary. When you said water rescues, you know, obviously that's their bailiwick.
Yeah. We train with them a couple times a year. We go out to their vessels, and we do some joint water rescue trainings with them as well. Because we interact with them quite a bit. Whether it's a water rescue or a boat fire, you know, they're a really key resource for us.
Yeah, a boat fire would be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
You know, is it a fire or is it a boat?
Yep. Yeah. And they're trained in that, you know, so they like to participate.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. You know, and then you're hanging around a bunch of young kids, right?
Yeah.
So you kind of feel like you're one of them for an hour.
They're pretty excited. Yeah, I mean, it's always really amazing to go on their vessels and see their berths. And they're on that, you know, they're on those all the time and ready to deploy wherever. That's pretty incredible.
You want a big fireboat?
I don't know. Our last fireboat seemed like a big fireboat. And the bigger they are, the more challenging they are to control.
Yeah, the bigger the hole.
Yes, right. The bigger the mess they might make.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:41.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this Friday with Sean Robertson from Humboldt Bay Fire. What are some of the challenges that are out there that you're looking at now? A new fire station? Is that, yeah, the discussion with the choke points, with the traffic around the zoo,
right,
but also with the density, the housing density issues that the county and all the jurisdictions are talking about. Cutton obviously is going to be an area that's going to see a lot of infill. It's got to, because it's the only place that, you know, around Eureka,
yeah,
that really has that opportunity. You know, the ADUs aren't going to cut that. Does that change your dynamics at all for the fire district side of your personality or for the city? Are they, you know, there has to be some recognition that there's going to be more and more service calls out in that area.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting question because for, I don't know, all the time I've been here, growth has been minimal. And
me too.
Yeah, and in a lot of other areas, growth is exploding. We have a housing crisis here that, you know, really begs for more housing. And like you said, there's limited space to do that. But it's becoming a much more important thing to consider. So will it have an impact on our services? Absolutely. Our call volume is increasing all the time. It's kind of trended a gradual increase in the last few years, but this last year, I mean, we're almost 1,000 calls above where we were before. And a lot of times the discussion about new stations is our current station deployment with 5 stations. Our last standards of coverage study, which is a pretty standard analysis of our response capabilities, was done in 2013, I believe. And at that point, we had almost 2,000 less calls a year than we do now. And like you said, if we keep having development, we're going to see that call for service increase, and we have to be prepared for that. So yeah, it'll have an impact.
Is there any preliminary that can be done, like by the property? You know, where you and just at least have a site identified that would really be beneficial, or you just have to wait until it's time and then you just do it at that point?
Generally, with those types of subdivision developments, and again, this is more in urban areas, building of a new station or at least consideration of it is a standard thing. In this case, it's definitely not part of the plan.
Yeah, we haven't figured anything out. Yeah.
So that's pretty uncommon. But, we're going to have to be more of an integral part of the conversation, and it's going to have to be response routes, evacuation routes with the new concern with wildfire impact, especially out in Cutton. There's a lot of considerations.
Fun stuff, huh? Are you wanting to wrestle that, or is it the next guy that's going to have to wrestle that?
I think we've got to set the groundwork now. So, yeah, I mean, I'm ready to wrestle that. I'm a big proponent of planning and planning for the most positive outcomes for our community, and some good development is part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's with the housing that is going on or will be going on there, what about these ADUs inside the city? Are those concerning to you, that there's not more density, but there's having to use the alleyways to get access to something, or some of the narrower setbacks, or some of these variations and variables that have been accepted by the building department? Do you guys look at that and kind of scratch your head and go, I don't know what this really is going to mean down the road?
We definitely are part of that planning process. And frankly, I've seen more limitations on that development, because for a long time there were all kinds of funky, to use the word, things in backyards and alleyways. We became a bit jaded about that development.
2-1.
But I think with the increased legislation, it creates a bit more structure with it. And I'm not seeing any more concerns about it. But
well, when you guys know that you have to go through an alley, the state of the alleys in Eureka, let's just say, are wildly different.
Yeah.
There are some you'll lose the truck in, and others that are paved as well as the streets are.
Right.
Is that a concern when you're looking at some of those?
Yeah, for sure. And the other issues with alleyways and fire apparatus is there's hardly any room to work. And to get hoses off of there and to make an effective attack or protection of the adjoining structures, and not getting, flames impinging on the rigs, because I've seen all of those things. So generally we'll go from the street side versus the alleyway.
Through the yard.
Yeah, and that's how our firefighters are trained, is to, prep for that stretch. But yeah, that is definitely a concern for the future. And
either skinny fire trucks or more training.
More training. We don't want to get too jaded.
Solve that one. See, I gave you that opportunity. It's a tie ball game, and we're out of here.
All right.
Have a great weekend, everybody. See you Monday.